In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Companionship, marital needs, and intimacy.
Tonight we'll have one of the important sessions for those who are married already and for those who are planning to marry. Three different issues. Companionship, what's companionship and examples of it? Marital needs and intimacy. Companionship is well needed in every marriage. Companionship is togetherness, doing together everything, or activity, shared interests and activities shared between the two spouses. There are two conditions for companionship. You choose your partner or your companion by your own free will. And number two, to spend time together. This is what institutes companionship. If someone is imposed on you, this is not companionship. If you don't spend time, good leisure time and activity together, this is not companionship. Now, if I go through 10 issues regarding companionship to see whether it's there or not. So number one, the free choice. Number two, time spent together, and they will give you an example. Number three, companions, they must have unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. As God loves and accepts us, He is telling each spouse, love and accept your spouse the same as I am doing. This is so hard for perfectionists. It's so hard for perfectionists because everything is conditioned for them. But imagine yourself working as a companion for someone who's sick, and you're getting $10 or $15 an hour to be a companion for an old lady or a sick person. You have to accept him as he is and to love him as he is. Of course, I don't ask you when you are spouses to pay you $10 per hour, $15 per hour to do that. God is asking you to do that. So, how many issues did now say? Free choice, spending time, unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. Number five, in companionship, you have to look to what's positive in your companion. Not to focus on the negatives. Look for the jewels inside him or her. What's good? Look carefully for what's good in them. Look for the jewels and don't focus on the dust. Don't focus on the negatives. So always companions look for the positives in one another. And number six, always companions satisfy the needs of their companion. And there is no companionship or there is no marriage which is always up. Expect that the relationship one day will be up, other day it might be down. It's not a problem. But it is expected. Number eight, don't spend time or years trying to change your companion. It's a waste of time. Focus on changing yourself through your relationship with God. If you focus on your companion to change him or her, you are wasting your time. And you feel so frustrated. Companions don't change. Don't work on changing one another. Number 9, for each companion there is a language to understand acceptance and love. You have to know the language of your companion. How does he or she see acceptance and love? And do it exactly to be understood by them. If you are someone, for you, love is to receive flowers, and you enjoy getting flowers. So, in the birthday of your husband, go and get some flowers. This is not his language. Maybe he prefers a set of tools to work in the garage. Maybe he prefers a tie. Whatever. Nothing sentimental, of a sentimental value. So we see the language of each one. And number 10, companions don't have a hidden agenda. You don't have a hidden agenda when you are working as a companion. In getting satisfying the needs, if you are working as a companion, paid to be a companion, when the time for, say, a lunch will come, do you feed your companion or you feed yourself first? Do you care your companion, that old sick man, already ate, or you eat and you ignore him? Of course, satisfy his needs first. Need of your companion first. So I give you 10 requirements. How to spend time, examples of spending time in companionship. Of course, we are trying all our marital life to see our shared interests. If we are interested, both of us, in Bible, okay, we could spend time together. In prayer, it's good. In sports, fine. And spend some time walking outside, around the block, going to the gym, eating out. We see what are the shared interests. So spending time together could be by something enjoyable, not forced on the other spouse. Examples: attending a seminar together like that, convention together, walking together, go to McDonald's together, half an hour a day, or every 2 or 3 days, go to the gym together, play any kind of sports together, play tennis, racquetball, but together. Read the Bible together, come to the church together, take communion together. Something enjoyable for both of you, you're doing it together. Now, some activity at home. You could shop together. If you are a good male companion, go shopping for clothes with your female companion together. Tolerate going to the mall, looking for her clothes with her. Shopping for grocery together. Cleaning the house together. You could visit together. Attending celebrations and wedding and together. Everybody will see you that you like to be together, enjoying together, discuss the budget together, discuss the future of your kids together, there's so many enjoyable togetherness. This is companionship. Spending time in an enjoyable activity which both of you like it. When you get older, you pass 60, you see what was the kind of activity both of you like to do it together. If you didn't manage to find interest, shared interest in any activity, it would be hard after you go on retirement. What to do? Each one is doing what he or she likes, and nothing shared. There's no companionship. And after certain time in your life, all the interest will be on your children and grandchildren, but there is no companionship between the two spouses. If the children don't come or call at home, you sit together, don't say anything, a TV, and that's all. You don't enjoy yourselves in a shared activity. If they will send you, say, the grandchildren, the grandma likes that, the grandpa don't like it, it will be for him something hard on him. There is no, maybe he likes them, but he can't tolerate them. There is nothing shared even in that. So, companionship, you choose your partner together, and in marriage, of course, we choose one another, and we do together, enjoy together, certain activity which is loved and enjoyed by the two of them. So companionship is togetherness. Marital needs. There's a list of marital needs, and we always try as spouses to see whether we really understand the needs of our spouses. You have a list of 10 marital needs. The list of 10 marital needs are as follows. Do you have handouts or you don't have today? Tonight you don't have? No? So, the marital needs, they start by spiritual needs. And usually, I ask you to do a certain sheet for that. Piece of paper, and you write those 10, and in front of them, 2 vertical columns. On top of one, you will write spouse, and myself. Give a score out of 10. 0, not important to you. 10, the maximum need. It's needed highly. What do you think your spouse that need is important to him or her? And write the score out of 10. Say spiritual. She likes to be involved in spirituality. Her needs in spirituality, 9. And I will write my own spirituality, 5. And then go on till the end. And set your priorities in the column of myself. See the first important 3 needs for you by score. And if you have 10, 10, 10, still see which one comes first, second, and third. And then you could put 4 still 10 in priorities. And then you compare notes. which means you ask your spouse, what did you write in the column of spouse about me in that need? See, he will tell you, yes, I know your need from spirituality is 10, and I wrote 5, I don't know, discrepancy over 2, it means we don't understand one another in this need. If they match, I say, my needs are 10, and he gave me 9. Fine, it's okay. Even till 8. But 6 or 7, we have to communicate about it. So, the first one is spiritual. I will explain to you, then you do that. And you prioritize the sequence, the most important 3, and then the rest in priorities. And you compare notes to see whether he understands me and I understand her or not. The second is admiration and respect. I admire characters and I respect certain characters in him or her. It's a need for some of you. I wish all of you, yani, you like to be respected. The third one is affection and love. Affection, which is love expressed. Love and affection. Is compassion with it? Compassion is different than affection, of course. You know the difference? Affection is you express love to your spouse by a language understandable to him or her. Compassion, you feel that your spouse or the other person is feeling weak. He is needy. See, he's sick. Jesus Christ, he felt that the people, they felt the compassion. He said he had compassion on them because he has seen them like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on the widow of Nain, Armeat Nain, when he saw people carrying her son, her only son, dead, and she's behind the coffin, and it was an open coffin, and Jesus has compassion on her. So compassion you feel on someone who is in a tragedy or he's feeling weak. Not necessarily love is like that. Question, is compassion a feeling or an action? Both. It has to end in action. If I feel compassion on you, I don't do anything, what you are going to benefit? I am full of compassion on you, but I don't show that, I don't do anything. You are sick, you have a broken leg, you can't move. I have compassion on you, but I'm not going to help you. What's the need? If I have a compassion on someone, according to the Bible, who needs clothes and food, and then I don't do it, what's the benefit? So compassion must end. It starts by fear, but it has to end by an action. And of course, as I said, affection, you said, is it one of your priorities or not? If you are a female, if you are a woman, and you say affection is not my cup of tea. It's not one of my first three priorities. You have to put a question mark in your mind. Why? According to the questionnaire taken for American Christian women, and nature of women, they love, or they like, I mean, love expressed to them, but by their language, their own language, as I'm going to explain. Then conversation and communication. What's the value of you sitting and conversing with your partner? Is it important? Could you, how long you could continue without talking to your spouse? A week? 2 days? 2 minutes? Some, they cannot. They get frustrated if the day will end without talking to their spouse. Or if they are feeling bad and they stop talking. And some, as I told you, they are using the silent treatment. Give him silent treatment. This is not Christian. But see the value of conversation and communication. And number 5 is recreational partner. Companionship, recreational partner, and domestic support at home. Doing chores at home, helping one another at home. Who does the laundry? Who helps in the kitchen? Cooking, ironing, raising the children. We have to help one another. So this is called domestic support. What is that value of domestic support to you? Number 6, loyalty, fidelity. How loyal you should be to your spouse. Do you allow infidelity in your relationship? How far fidelity and loyalty is important to you? And how far financial support is important to you? Is it so important? I don't work. Only my spouse is working. So it's important for us. And maybe I'm laid off. Maybe at some time, if I get pregnant, I will not work. How far is financial support is important? My husband work part-time, and I work full-time, and he's helping at home. Do you think helping work at the house equal money or not? Housewife, I mean, she is a devoted housewife, working only in her house and raising kids in the first 5 years of her life, or all her life as a wife. She's a housewife. She's not getting any income. What she's doing, is it equal money or not? Of course. It's one of the careers mentioned in the computer. U.S. computer is one of the careers. Housewife. Just imagine, you're outside, kids going to daycare, how much you spend in gas, clothes, away from home. You're getting money, how much you're spending, and the safety and security for the children. And what, so you could count it and see. After that, honesty and openness. Honesty and openness and trust. How far that needs for you. Openness, the opposite is vagueness. You feel that your spouse is so vague, is lying. You can't get anything right out of his or her mouth. As if he or she is having hidden agenda. Something is going in the dark behind your back. So openness and honesty and trust, how far it is important to you as a need. Then forgiveness, how far that need is important in your marital life. You understand, of course, forgiveness. I mentioned that before. And the last one, sexual fulfillment. How far is important for you? If you take spiritual needs away from the list, because everybody will say, yes, spiritual needs, number one. Okay, say, take it away. Usually, men in the questionnaire, Christian men, they have chosen admiration and sexual fulfillment. And women, they have chosen affection and conversation. I mean, as the first two priorities. But of course, anybody could differ. It depends on your spouse, what is really his or her needs with priorities. And then you compare charts and work on at least understanding one another regarding the marital needs, and then start to work on the needs. Satisfy the needs of your spouse before your own needs. It is one of the commitments mentioned in the five commitments in the first presentation. Jesus is telling you that you have to sacrifice for one another, and from these you forget about your needs and satisfy the needs of the other. And if everyone will do it, of course there will be mutual satisfaction of the needs. Then we'll go to the last issue, which is much longer. Intimacy. We have defined intimacy before. I wish that any new couple who are going to marry, they have one of their matrimonial pictures in the church, the Lord Jesus standing between the two, an icon. Or the photographer will take a picture, the two, and between them the crucifix or the icon of Jesus on the iconostasis. And the two appear with Jesus between them. Unless you have a picture, an icon for Jesus opening his arms, and the two will stand against his figure and take the picture. To remind yourselves that this is really the matrimonial mystery, and the presence of God is the main reason for the intimacy, for the unity. So, matrimonial or marital intimacy is unity and through God. And it is a perpetual process. Perpetual process means which starts in the beginning of marriage, in the wedding ceremony, and continues all your life to get deeper and deeper and deeper, getting more intimate. It is as if you are weaving threads together to have a cloth. You are perpetual interweaving of two souls together, two spirits together, two minds together, and two hearts together, and two bodies together. Emotions, intellectuality, spirituality, and bodies. to become one flesh at the end. And this process takes time. In the intimacy checklist, you find one of the statements with that meaning. The longer the time of marriage, the deeper the intimacy. Is that right or wrong? Is an ipso fact? Of course not. You might find a couple who don't believe in intimacy through the Holy Spirit, and they are 50 years married, and they have conflicts, thinking of divorce. Another couple 10 years, and so intimately united, and they have very godly life. So it is not an ipso fact. The longer you live together, the more will be the intimacy, unless you really work on it. Does intimacy need time, which means you spend effort and time every day to practice these exercises I'm going to tell you? Yes. At least 1 hour a day to be together. Spiritual, you have something called how to rekindle your marital intimacy. How to rekindle the marital relationship if you feel that it needs that. You mean the fire is not glowing, the relationship is not glowing, the relationship is withered. What to do? You have a set of exercises. You have that word, seats. And before that, there's a prescription from St. John Chrysostom, so easy. RAMS, RMS. Repent and know what you did wrong. If two have a conflict, each one will ask himself or herself, what did I do wrong? Don't talk of mistakes of the other person. Number two, mirror. Admit to the other person, yes, I did such and such wrong. Forgive me. Mirror to the other what you did. First, between you and yourself. Between you and your spouse. Third step, satisfy the need which you were not doing. Which you were not satisfying. So easy. Repent, admit, and ask for forgiveness, and satisfy. Now, we have mainly four main components for marital intimacy. Four. Each one constitutes 25% of intimacy, of the relationship. We have spiritual intimacy, intellectual intimacy, emotional intimacy, and sexual intimacy or physical intimacy. Spiritual intimacy means the two together are doing one thing which is joining them. And as I have mentioned to you before, any effort spent together towards intimacy, the Holy Spirit who is between both of you binds the two together, unites them more together in any of these exercises. If these are positive behaviors, not negative. So, exercises in the spiritual intimacy have to be soulmate. Have both of them enjoy a spiritual life together. All the spiritual exercises, you read Bible together, you go to church together, take communion together, you pray together, you read spiritual books together, read books of miracles together, visit monasteries, retreat areas together, attend together, I mean, certain conventions about marriage, which is with a spiritual background, talk together about the work of God in your lives, support one another spiritually. If you come to the church and hear something good and you want to say it, go. Today we have attended a meeting and God spoke through such a person, he said such and such and such. And meditate together about what you have heard. God showed his blessing and the grace in the life of someone, and you heard that their life is prosperous spiritually. Talk about the action of God and ask him to be with you. So you could see the Holy Spirit is glowing in someone or another couple. Bless God and meditate on that, about their life. Now, the bank of respect, which is edification, S, spiritual, E, edification. Edification means to build up. Intellectual intimacy, communication. You open a joint account in the bank of respect. The more you credit certain behaviors which indicate, which are positive and indicate your respect to the other spouse, you get 1 point. If you debit, if you do something which is negative, how many points you take? 1 point for positive. How many points for the negative? You choose between both of you. At least 3 points. So, what could be positive behaviors to show respect in communication? I told you before some of these examples. In positive communication, we have to visualize Jesus sitting with us in this communication. In whatever the communication is, there has to be in this communication one of the following. And we have to be away from the other negatives, as I'm going to say, which debit. So credit, add points. If you add points and the other spouse add points, the joint account increases. You feel that the relationship is full of respect. So there has to be in general edification. You don't demolish the one in front of you by your comments. You encourage, you support, you praise, you appreciate, you admire. Choose any of these and be sure that you do it in any communication. If any communication is void of all those positives and negatives are there, like putting down, humiliation, discourage, put whatever so he would crack down, depreciate, don't show admiration, point and criticize and blame, point at, criticize and blame, don't praise, maybe you will add to his self-righteousness. So continue hammering on him negativity, and you think you are doing good for him. Of course, it's too bad. Everybody like to be supported and encouraged in life. Don't misunderstand the church. Yes, you could praise if he deserves it. If he has something to be praised, but not phony praise, not fake praising. So appreciate something good which is done, admire a character, praise something which is happening, always encourage the feeble heart, those who are weary, those who are tired, those who feel that they are down, encourage them, support them. Refer to 1 Thessalonians 5:14 in that. So, you have to deposit, both of you, each one at least 5 deposits a day in the first 2 weeks. It will be increased to 10 deposits a day. You have all the day in your communication, either communication through phones even. But you have to deposit. So the general of the communication will be positive. Whatever communication are doing. And you dip it if you criticize or blame or point finger or discourage or don't appreciate or don't admire if it's needed at certain times, by yourself you debit 3 points from your part of the account. So the joint account actually is a joint, but you have yours and hers, he and she. You add both, but in yours you credit and debit. So it's a joint because the meaning, the two will be added together because both of you are one. But each one will credit and debit in a vertical column separate than the other. In your mind and then put it. After one, check every week and see, is the curve going up? The joint account is increasing? And what is the source? Who is the source of adding? Or who mainly is the source of debiting, withdrawing? Now, emotions. You have also bank of emotions. And the same, you have joint account in the bank of emotions. What could be the exercises? Number one, we have to understand the language of emotion, language of love. There's a book called The 5 Languages of Love. Are you familiar with it? There's more than 5 languages, but I mean the book is written to show 5 different languages. Someone respect is his language of love. You love me, you respect me. Someone, his language is companionship. Someone, and I don't want that to be many of you, their language is gifts, diamonds, gifts, not flower. So they love to have something precious, you know, precious stones, yeah. Gifts. And you know, there are so many who love their anniversary to be every month. They celebrate the birthday every month between themselves. Say, I am born on the 19th of such a month. Every 19th. The engagement which day? And the wedding which day? Irrespective of the month. When you reach the exact month, a bigger celebration. As if we are trying to find chances to be together and express love to one another. Not necessarily by gifts. But if really is a gift, you could find something which could give her or give him the meaning. If that person, his language is gifts. Then affection, hugs, kisses, tender touches could be a language. And I always say, meaningful hug and meaningful kiss. You mean what you are doing, not cliche hug or cliche kiss. Okay, Dr. Solomon tells us we have to kiss one another. And he said, you know, by yourself. And what is that? Or from far away, what is this? They do it. He's going fast to the door. And you forgot to kiss me. What is it? There has to be a kiss which lasts for some time. You understand? A kiss or a hug which lasts meaningfully for a few seconds. Not something casual. I'm talking about those who are married now. Keep it. It's coming one day. Some, their language is, you love me? Help me. Help me in doing chores. The kitchen is full of dishes that needs to be cleaned. I mean, arrange for me the papers and the or books in the office. I mean, do something with me. My language is action, behavior, not just kisses and hugs. Okay? Someone, his language of love is sexuality. If you really love him, and he needs to make love with him. This is his language of love. He doesn't understand. Affection, no. Anything else, no. Just sexuality. It is his language. You have to understand, both of you, the language of one another. Some will say, no, my language is all of them. No, choose two. And if all of them are... It's unrealistic. So, do you understand now the language of love of your spouse? Really, you understand it? If you do it, he or she will understand that you are expressing real love to them, that they are loved. If you don't understand, ask. Nothing wrong to ask. What's your language? What could be a good day? An example, you know, spend day with Jesus Christ. How to spend a good day with good love and the emotions in it? I cannot imagine a couple who are married who start their day without touching one another and saying good morning. If you have a morning breath and you don't want to kiss, fine, go and brush your teeth first. But at least God gave us good night and we are awake and alive. So you thank God for that and wish him or her good morning with a gentle touch or a hug. معلش تحملوا يعني بعض. And some of you have to tolerate that. Some of you, they are married, and they have imaginary line going between the two in their bed, king-size bed. An imaginary line which no one could cross over. Why? I like my side, nobody will irritate me. That's why I'm buying king-size bed. And I'm against king-size bed as a counselor. Queen, okay. But king-size is against intimacy. Do you understand what I'm saying? One on that side and one on the other side. And maybe better to put a pillow in the middle so you could... You're free on your side. This is not our Christian life, as I'm coming to tell you now. You go and take your shower and do whatever and face and then if you will wake up as usual earlier than the other, before you leave you have to give a hug and kiss for your spouse, and the other one who is there, he wish you a safe drive and return. If you could rise up and take breakfast together and give a meaningful wish and hug for a safe day, work, enjoy with Jesus Christ and return safely, it's good to hear that. God bless you. It's nice to bless your spouse. God be with you. God bless you. Drive safely. Have a good day. Please return for me safe. I am waiting for you. I will miss you. All these are good statements with the hug and kiss. Don't leave home without hug and kiss if you are married. Even if she's sleeping, go and kiss her. And she will wake up on a good thing, a good kiss, and then you will leave. Now, in the middle of the day, I prefer to be a phone communication to express to one another that you love one another. Always women have a list, or men have a list to the other spouse on the midday conversation. What do they cook? What's needed to be shopping you get? And of course, most men are ADD in that. They have attention deficit disorder. Whatever you tell them, they will forget about. All they have certain kind of listening, selective listening for what you want. So I prefer always the midday. If you have time, if you are working close by, go and take lunch together. Why not? If you have time. Or during the lunch, call one another and express that you are waiting for a time to return, to be together. Expressing that is so important every day. Okay, talk about your work, what's going on, fine. But start and end by a lovely statement. Some prefer to wake up in the morning and they find in the mirror of the bathroom, he left for her or she left for him a love memo, a sticker with a love memo on the mirror. I love you. I will continue to always love you. You are, say whatever as love memo and leave it. When he or she will wake up, he will find it. I am giving you tips how to use it. When you are returning home, you have to finish with your work, what's in your mind before you reach home. So you could turn any tape, any CD, listen to something good. I mean, either music or something religious or a song. At the door of your home, you don't bring work with you. There is no time for together. You reach home 6 or 7. What time remains if you have kids? Somebody working in the kitchen, another is helping, and you get the children from the daycare and work with them till they sleep, say 8 or 9. They are so tired. 9 to 10, you are together. What are you going to do? 9 to 10. A list of things you have to do together. And if you don't do it, you lose touch. So many of you they want to reach bed. They're so stressed just to sleep. There's time to read together with a Bible or spiritual books. There's time to pray even our Father who art in heaven together before you go to bed. During that 1 hour, you could discuss whatever you want to discuss, including bills. Do whatever you want to do, but do it together or around one another, close to one another. Closeness or availability of one to another is so important in that hour. Being available to whatever both of you want to do. Before you go to bed, after praying with the kids and reading for them, you stay 1 hour together and you stand together in your bedroom praying a short prayer or your Agbaya together. Then you go to bed. I recommend, please do it from the beginning of your marriage. Don't sleep unless you put your arm under her head and she puts her head on your shoulder and you embrace her. You kiss one another and wish for one another a good night's sleep in the care of Jesus Christ. If you want to continue after that for love making, it's up to you. But we're talking about emotions. Now, if the language is respect or companionship or whatever, you try to do it during that day. I'm giving an example. Now, if you return differently, you return first or she returns first, what is the first thing you do when you meet one another? If your spouse is coming from the door and you are anywhere in the house, what to do? Let him do whatever. What do you do? Who is the most precious in that house? Someone who's living in the house. After Jesus, who? The spouse, other spouse. Into min alam tani, from another star, from another planet. You have to give a good hug and kiss. You have to, as soon as you see one another. If you don't miss him, or you don't miss her, that's so bad. But in the beginning, the first 2 weeks, I'm sure you will miss one another. Make it a habit. A deep hug, meaningful hug, and a kiss. That I missed you. Nothing wrong in doing that. It's bad that you don't do it. God kept him or her safe. As he thanked God that he or she is safe now between your arms. He or she could be involved in an accident. Once you see him or her, say thank you God and give him or her a good hug and a good kiss. And you could count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 when you are still in the hug. مش كده خلاص. That's casual. No. Even priests are doing that. Even priests are doing that in the conventions in front of congregation to show them that they are abiding with these rules. It happened in so many conventions. When I talk about that and the priest is leaving, his wife will tell him, Abuna, he will return in front of everybody. He will give her a hug and the congregation are counting. 1, 2. A good example. هي تصوني دي يعني تصوني عند أبونا both of them are married. And when I say in the convention, please, everybody, every couple sit together. When I talk about this intimacy, you know, and say, Abuna, including you, Abuna. Could everybody sit together? Why Abuna is away from Tasoni? They have to be the best example for the church. Nothing shameful to be a good example for marriage, for the whole congregation. احنا مش الصعيد يا جماعه احنا صدقوني يعني villages in upper Egypt are much more modern and liberal than you here in Montreal now. I don't know what's happening here. تونس كلكم بس يعني okay. So a good day, both of you enjoy a good love together with the presence of Jesus, emotions. Then, what is the place of the tender, warm, non-sexual touches between both of you? Some of you get irritated. Irritated. Many women now, they get irritated if their husband will touch them like that. They are not hitting them, just touching them. In the old days I mean, in those days in which I was seeing people love one another, if the man will show warmth and tenderness to his wife, she will jump into his arms to be hugged. But now, and see, I have a case, the man, 3 years marriage, and he's just touching his wife, then to push him away. And there's no conflict. Why? She's disgusted from the touch. I don't know what this means. It means something wrong, the way she was raised. And someone, a lady, said one day to her husband, he was touching her. She said, that's yucky. What's meant by it? Why? What's wrong? And she's heterosexual. She's not homo. She's married. So, some people go to the extreme, but there's a question mark why he or she are not doing that. Tender warmth and tenderness and non-sexual touches in places which are not sexual, especially if there are children around you. If you are in your bedroom, do whatever. It's between you and God. When you go to the last S, which is sexuality, sexuality starts by a good touch. Sexuality starts by affection. Sexuality has to be by the consent of both of them. God is in the physical relationship and intimacy. And He is the one who planned it. And He is the one who will be so happy if you will gather the two into a physical lovemaking and intimacy. Tomorrow I'm going to speak with you about spirituality and sexuality in Christian marriage. I love you all. Thank you. جربوا بقى تحركوا شوية. Move on. Yes, thank you.